This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, a magnificent Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, our final show of the year 2025. So we are going to churn and burn through as many of your questions as I can possibly get to as we hit on the problems, the good things, the light things, everything underneath the sun we can possibly pack into 3 hours on the Jesse Kelly Show. And in case you're wondering, yes, I'm going to miss you dearly. I will be chomping at the bit to get back. So before we get into anything else, before we get into the questions, I opened up last night's show and I was talking about good things that are happening. And I do this as much for me as I do it for you. It's easy in life, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what you're into in life, it's easy to only dwell on the problems. And I do this. All right, I'm pointing fingers my direction. I do this. It could be sports. It's football season. Your team could be 14-2. It's tempting when you get with your buddies. Yeah, but defense looked a little shaky last week. I don't think we have what it takes. We're not going to make it. It's human nature, right? And we political people, you, me. How many problems do we have as a country? How many problems do you have as a state? The United States of America. Maybe you're listening in Canada. Maybe you're in Australia. And I know we have people who listen all over the world now, which is wild. But you look around you and you think, man, we are screwed. And in some ways, I'm sure we are. But I do think it's also important. In fact, because of that, I think it's extremely important. When there are wins, when there are good things happening, take a moment and enjoy it. Take a moment and enjoy it. I've told you this story before. I'll tell you again. When we went to Iraq, this was at the start of the second Iraq invasion. So this is before George Bush declared war. We're down in Kuwait, staged in Kuwait, training in Kuwait. George Bush declares war. Boom, we go over, United States Marines, everyone else. We invade Iraq and we fight all through the country, all the way up to Baghdad and everything else. And setting everything else aside, I know you're going to find this shocking, but the food was horrible, of course, because it's MREs and if you get food and sometimes you ran out of food, it's prepackaged stuff. Every veteran listening to me knows exactly what I'm talking about. If you're a Vietnam veteran, it was sea rats. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. The food was horrible. And you know me, that I'm obsessed with food, way too obsessed with food. It's a total sinful thing. It's awful, but I am obsessed with food. I get it. Now, after Baghdad, we end up getting sent down to a town in Iraq called Najaf to run security operations there against terrorists and everyone else, and whatever, doing a bunch of stuff. We end up having to guard the mayor of Najaf because a bunch of people wanted to kill him. So they'd send a platoon of Marines every now and then to the mayor's house. Now, remember, I would guess we're probably 6 or 8 months away from home. I don't remember. Crappy food. Obviously, you're not sleeping in a bed. You don't get to bathe all that often. I'm not complaining, right? People have had it worse in combat, but you're certainly not living a comfortable existence. It's freaking hot. The flies. You wake up with flies on your face. It's combat. It sucks. When we're guarding this mayor's house, something happens one day. Guy pulls up to the gate with a big cart, like an icebox cart, and starts pulling out these pitas. You know, they have pitas there. Pitas, homemade pitas, that he had opened up and stuffed with scrambled eggs. He must have used a stick of butter per egg. Scrambled eggs and onions. That's
what he did. Scrambled eggs and onions. I'm sure it's just something he makes in the house. And he wheeled this thing up to the gate and said, hey, $1 a piece for these things. Now, I know this doesn't sound exactly special to you. I understand that because I can't put you there. But away from home, crappy food, bed sucks. You might get shot in the face tomorrow. So you got the boredom, the fear, the misery, everything else that comes with it. Taking 5 minutes and eating a pita full of scrambled eggs and onions and butter. We hadn't tasted butter in ages. Butter dripping down your face. Take 5 minutes and eat a pita. You walk away from all of it. Maybe you're going through living hell personally right now. Maybe you got sickness in your family. Maybe you're dying. Maybe someone you know is. Maybe you lost your job. There's an endless list of problems that come for us all at some point. When you get little W's of any kind, I believe you should really focus. I should focus on stop. Take 5 minutes and eat the pita. We know about the rampant anti-white man racism that has torn through this country that really ramped up over the last decade. A lot of this prompted by Barack Obama. It's sick. It's evil. It's wrong. It's that look, there's as I said, there's not an ounce of difference between telling a black person in the 60s they have to eat at a separate restaurant and telling a white man he's not qualified to work in corporate America because of the color of his skin. It's all wrong. It's all systemic. It's bigoted. It's wrong. It robs people of opportunities and a future. It's friggin' wrong. Okay, that's how it's been. And in many ways, that's still institutionalized all across our society. I'm going to play something for you. This is the new chair of Equal Employment Opportunity. She's the chair of the commission. Listen to this. Man, November matters.
The EOC is committed to identifying, attacking, and eliminating all forms of race and sex discrimination, including against white male applicants and employees. Check out eoc.gov to learn more and read our one-page explainer about DEI-related discrimination.
I know it's small. I know it's 15 seconds, but if we're sitting here right now, December 2025, and it's President Dome in the White House, they would be tripling, quadrupling down on every sick, bigoted, evil thing they embraced and did over Biden's 4 years, and they'd be making sure corporate America was revving up all of it too. They'd be pushing all these policies as far and fast as they possibly could. And so while you and I are going to have frustrations with the Trump administration when we see them screwing up or just flat out failing in certain ways, maybe you're already mad. Maybe you're sitting there already saying, Jesse, yeah, he hasn't fixed the prices. Jesse, the Epstein stuff. Jesse, the whatever. Not telling you not to feel that way. Not telling you not to be frustrated. But take a moment. Take a moment and just breathe in how different things are now than they were. Do not forget how horrible it was under Joe Biden. We finally got to see what the communists really dreamt of doing in this country with total power, because Joe Biden was a cadaver, and so he sat in the corner. And Victoria Nuland and Anita Dunn and all the dirty communists in the White House, they got to basically be president for 4 years. And we watched them. We watched them throw pro-life pastors in prison as fast as they could. Hunt down January 6thers, over 1,000, bragging they're going to hunt down 1,000 more. We watched them throw open the border and fly in as many filthy foreigners into this country as they possibly could get in here. We watched as they tore through every good and decent thing in this country. We watched as they lit the White House up in rainbow colors for LGBTQ Air Force Month or whatever the stupid thing was. We had to suffer while they stuffed trannies in every realm of the government, making us the laughingstock of the planet. We suffered mightily for 4 years while the demented, demonic freaks took over the United States of America and set about their evil ways. So right now, things may not be going perfectly. I'm more than willing to admit that. But I just want to take a moment every now and then and smell the friggin' roses. Take a moment. It's so much better than it was.
The last administration and their allies in Congress looted our treasury for trillions of dollars, driving up prices and everything at levels never seen before. I am bringing those high prices down and bringing them down very fast. The price of a Thanksgiving turkey was down 33%.
It's better than it was. It ain't right yet. We have a lot of work to do, but it's better than it was. All right. Someone has a question about all these NGOs, the evil work they do. Can they be used for good? We'll talk about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, I have a question for you. What color is your dog's food? The year 2026. Is it going to be the last year you have with your dog? We already know, well, we think, we possibly have crested the peak of Fred's life, and we're already talking about it. When are we going to lose him? When are we going to lose him? We don't want to lose him. Rough Greens is how we push that date out as far as possible because Rough Greens keeps Fred healthy. The nutritional supplement with live nutrients, vitamins, minerals, sprinkle it on his food. Such a difference in his coat, in his energy level. He's still an idiot. It can't save that. But the rest of him is so much better. You want a free jumpstart trial bag? Go to roughgreens.com, use the promo code Jesse. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I just want Chris and Corey to know they're fired for playing that song right before Christmas. You're both fired. This cannot stand. It will not stand. Wishing you a very, very Merry Christmas. And, of course, Chris, a Happy Hanukkah. We all got it. Let's get to some of these emails. Jesse Mortarhands. Why can't Trump use NGOs to remove illegals like the commies use them to bring them in? They get paid so much per head once they're verified, removed. Who writes the media stories? Okay, so let's deal with this NGO thing. First, let's remember kind of the origin story of the idea of NGOs, at least a big part of the origin story of NGOs, non-government organizations, in case you don't know what that stands for. So diplomacy, spying, these two things go hand in hand, right? Intelligence gathering and diplomacy have always gone hand in hand. In fact, historically, your diplomats, your foreign diplomats you would send, would not only go over there and try to negotiate a deal between you and another country. While they're there, they're going to gather what information they can. They're going to come back and report to the king, hey, no updates on the spice trade, but I did see a fairly large military outside the city. Looked like they were preparing for something. You know, you get that. So here in the United States of America, it's no different, really. Keep this in mind. The CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, did you know they're supposed to work underneath the State Department? The CIA is not supposed to be, you know, just this completely separate spy agency that does its wishes with, of course, some oversight from Congress with the ultimate air fingers quote. The State Department's job is to do diplomacy with other nations around the globe, and the Central Intelligence Agency is supposed to work underneath that. Now, that's just a little kind of side note. Let's talk about this. Let's say you're the United States of America. Let's use Venezuela because it's in the news right now. Let's say you begin negotiations with Maduro because you want something from Maduro. Hey, we want this oil field. We believe this belongs to us. You have it. What can we do diplomatically to make this happen? Let's say Maduro says, nothing. It's mine. Nothing. It's mine. Well, we may, as the State Department, we may, and of course, remember, the State Department's just an extension of the president. The State Department doesn't get to work on its own either. We may decide as the State Department, you know what? We're not getting anywhere here. He's not giving us this oil field back. It's time to get Maduro out of power. All right. Now, a couple different ways to get people out of power. Of course, you can just find an assassin to kill them. You can militarily invade. All these things can get extremely messy. Or you can come up with kind of a new plan, a plan that allows you to hurt the government, the organization you want hurt, without getting your hands dirty. And this was really a CIA specialty. Don't get me wrong. All intelligence agencies around the globe do this, so it's not unique to the CIA. And it simply involves things like this. Hey, I'm the CIA. I would like your company. I would like you, since you do TV commercials and billboards and things like that, here's $50 million. I would like you to run some ad campaigns in Venezuela, causing division, telling people Maduro sucks. Then I'll go to another NGO. Remember, they're not part of the CIA. These are separate companies. Obviously, the CIA starts a lot of these, but these are separate companies. I go to another NGO, and I find, I tell them, hey, there are a bunch of disenfranchised workers. People aren't making the wages they want in Venezuela. You know what you guys should do? You guys should organize a protest this Friday. In fact, let me go ahead and get you some materials for that protest. Here's some signs. Hey, it might get violent. Let's get you some gas masks, maybe some bricks. But long story short, the idea of these non-government organizations really came from, we want to do things in foreign lands that maybe would make us look bad if people found out we were doing them. Maybe even by law, international law, maybe even it would be kind of illegal. You know, in general, the international community doesn't love it when you do regime change of another country. Certainly if they're working with that other country, it allows you to do things without getting your hands dirty, if you will. It would be like me hiring Jewish producer Chris. Hey, Chris, here's $50. What I'd like you to do is send Ob a text message, an anonymous text message, letting her know her veggie chili sucks. And we never want to have that again. I can't have that coming from me. $50, Chris. Send her a text, please. Hey, Corey, 50 for you. It's that version of that, right? Now, we ran into a problem. And this is a consistent problem throughout history when it comes to governments. When governments acquire a power of any kind, they want to use it. And not always for you. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, absolutely wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday before Christmas as we gear up to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It feels like a great, great year to do exactly that. Now, back to our little story. Guy asked about Trump using NGOs. Why can't we use NGOs to deport the same way they use them to import? All right, so we kind of went over a little bit of the history of NGOs. Now, let's discuss something. You know, governments tend to get corrupt and evil over time. We talk about it all the time on the show. Our government is no exception. And our founders knew that was going to be the case. That's why they didn't lay out all the good conduct they wanted our government to do. The founders laid out how small and limited they wanted our government to remain because, as they said several times, government is dangerous. Government should be contained. Big, there's no such thing as good government. It has to be limited, contained. It should be limited to a few things or you're going to run into a problem. Well, imagine the government that's getting more corrupt and evil over time, discovering that it can make societal changes with its fingerprints off of it. It can steal taxpayer money and make gigantic societal changes with the taxpayer money and not be blamed for it at all. Sounds good. In their eyes, sounds good. Well, what else do we talk about? What have I said to you? What have I said multiple times is the most dangerous thing happening on the planet today? By far. By far, there's not even a close second. It's not Islamic terrorism, actually. It's not Russia. It's not China. By far, the most dangerous thing happening on planet Earth today is Western governments deciding their own citizens are the enemy and slowly but surely taking all the guns of the government and pointing those guns inward. Would you like Exhibit A, courtesy of Australia? Australia just had a bunch of radical Islamists butcher a bunch of Jews on the beach. What kind of ads are they putting out right now in Australia?
Enough.
No more division.
No more hate.
No more racism.
No more anti-Semitism.
No more Islamophobia.
This country is built on diversity.
On fairness.
On respect.
Everyone is equal.
Everyone deserves to feel safe.
Hate is where it starts.
Here is where it stops.
What? What's the PM going to do after a bunch of defenseless citizens were slaughtered on the beach?
We expect hundreds of thousands of firearms will be collected and destroyed through this scheme. Consistent with...
They use the terrorist attack, just like our government does, as an opportunity to go after the people they're really afraid of. Western governments turning their guns inward is the most dangerous thing happening on the planet because that's how genocides eventually happen. Now, think about our evil government. We'll just stay with the CIA, but it extends beyond them. Our government filled up with communists who have infiltrated it over the years. They want to do things. They have things they want to do when you're always in the way. So, on the topic of immigration, you are well aware, I'm not going to dwell on it again today, we talk about it all the time, that the mass importation of disloyal foreigners is everything to them. It's central to their plans. They already discovered long ago how easy it is to steal taxpayer money and hand it to non-government organizations to handle it. Well, you get a bunch of communist organizations. They, of course, always throw these wonderful-sounding names on themselves, oftentimes religious names on themselves. Christians for foreigners, Catholics helping those who are abroad, Jews for Hondurans. They always try to throw in some flowery sounding name, almost always using a religion, but really it's just a communist front group working adjacent to the federal government, using your money to aid in the mass importation of foreigners. It's a gigantic multi-billion dollar industry where the federal government steals your money, hands it to a communist, quote, charity, and that charity feeds, houses, and provides for the serial gang rapist who just got here from El Salvador. Now, your question is, why can't we use those NGOs to remove? Well, this is one of those evil tools we can't pick up. It has to be destroyed. Even if you could use the NGO to remove them, which I'm doubtful you could, even if you could, what would happen is the next time the communists come into power, they would just flip it like a light switch and it would go right back to importing dirty foreigners into your community to stab your kid in the high school hallway. They would just flip it like a light switch. When we take power, yes, in some ways, no question, we have to use power. But we also have to recognize significant portions of their power, foundations of their power, and attack those foundations to dismantle them, making them difficult to ever rebuild again, if not impossible to ever rebuild again. What should be done is the destruction of the NGO network in this country. And the communists know this, by the way. That is a huge reason why they put the flowery religious names on these organizations. So if anti-communists ever catch on to what's going on and ever actually attack these organizations, it looks like Trump's attacking Catholics. The Catholics for Guatemalans, he can't attack Catholics. Catholics should rise up against this. He's not attacking Catholics. He's attacking the NGO. You see why they name what they name? And that actually brings me to this guy's second question, and then I'll move on. Who writes the media stories? The Talking Heads or the AP? Where is the choke point? So there are a bunch of different reasons for this. Speaking of the CIA, you should know the CIA writes these stories sometimes too. You know that, right? Some of the most disgusting communists in the media have a long history of working side by side with the CIA, but we'll set that aside for a moment. Here's how it oftentimes works. I can be, all right, let's say I'm evil communist Congressman Jesse, all right? I'm a communist congressman. I have a PR campaign, a PR firm I work with, maybe even my campaign account, I work with them. And I have, let's say somebody who runs my campaign, he spent a lot of years as an editor with the New York Times. All right, so evil communist Congressman Jesse, I want to start a story. I don't know, a story about Trump committing war crimes by blowing up Venezuelan drug boats. Well, it looks obviously political if it comes from my office. So I don't make it start in my office. I simply get with my friend who works still with the New York Times, has friends at the New York Times. We go have a steak dinner on Friday night. Who am I kidding? These are Democrats. We go have some sort of a vegan meal on Friday night. And over our vegan soy lattes, we sit down and I say, this is what I want done. I want the war crime story. These are the talking points. Boop, boop, boop. Goes right back to the New York Times. Soon, a major publication like the New York Times, biggest newspaper in the country, the New York Times prints the story. Well, what happens from there? Now, that was one source, right? One story, one way it happens. What happens from there is other media outlets who are communist or lazy or communist and lazy, they read the New York Times story, then they start running their own stories, quoting the New York Times story. Boom, you have an article in the Washington Post. Boom, it's in the LA Times. Now Time Magazine is running something. CNN, of course, has experts on to talk about the expose in the New York Times. Is that a war crime? It's a war crime. See how this works? Off of one story, it snowballs, and it makes putting out blatant lies easy. All right, talk about bacon, stopping America's decline, and protecting yourself with a Byrna compact launcher. You know, obviously, things are not going to change crime-wise in this country anytime soon. They can't when the blue areas are so dedicated to hurting people, to turning people loose from jail so they can hurt you. All that means is you are going to have to be more self-sufficient in the future when it comes to your safety. The Byrna compact launcher, it's like the size of a smartphone. It's 4.07 inches long. Do you know that? Right in your purse. They have holsters for them. Legal in all 50 states. No permit. No background check. Shoots pepper balls, tear gas rounds. You're going to pick up your phone and call the cops when he's coming at you with a knife? Can they get there before he gets to you? Shoot him. Watch him cry and spit and throw up while you escape. Nobody dies. Most importantly, you don't die. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, magnificent Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Reminding you, you can still email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We are live, and of course, those things are not going to be lost if we don't get to all of them. Let's do this one. Hey, Jesse, your Rhodesian Bush War series was outstanding. It's interesting to see how communists do the same thing the world over. In Rhodesia, the communists elected a communist leadership, which destroyed the once beautiful, most prosperous country in Africa, turning it into one of the poorest countries on the planet. In Venezuela, communists elected communist leadership, which destroyed the once beautiful, most prosperous country in Latin America, turning it into one of the poorest countries on the planet. In New York City, so on and so forth. Why do these people see the destruction that communist has wrought and then repeat it? All right, so a couple things. Let me ask you something. There's two different things to this. Let me ask you something. Why do you think, well, for instance, Ken Burns. You know Ken Burns, the documentary filmmaker Ken Burns, the guy with the worst toupee in the history of mankind. But anyway, Ken Burns. Ken Burns is a talented documentarian. Is that a word, Chris? Whatever. Talented documentary filmmaker. Has made great ones in the past, like the Civil War one. I have some quibbles with it, but great ones. From what I understand, he just put out a one on the American Revolution. I've not watched it. I will not watch it because people I trust have watched it, and they were mortified by how subversive it was. America sucks. America's evil. America's racist. America, all these things. Now, let me ask you. Why did the communists take over the history programs? They write history books that Aiden, Jaden, and Braden learn from in school. History books that tell them things like FDR was wonderful and Reagan was an idiot. Why? Well, communists lie about everything all the time, as you know. Everything, all the time. Big, gigantic lies. And they most definitely lie about history because they don't want Aiden, Jaden, and Braden learning that Mao killed several times more people than Hitler ever thought of. Yeah, they're going to learn about Hitler for 3 or 4 weeks, and understandably so. They probably won't know what the Red Scare is by the time they graduate high school, by the time they graduate college. Are they going to know that Mao starved 50 million people to death, burying people alive? Are they going to know anything? No, of course not, because, well, that would make communism look bad. My first point is, why do people repeat this? The communists took over the history classes because they didn't want Aiden, Jaden, and Braden to know about all the bloody, horrible history of communism. That's one. My second point is the one that's going to be harder to accept, but it's probably the main point. If I had something beautiful in front of you, the Eiffel Tower, if I put the Eiffel Tower in front of you, you've seen pictures of the Eiffel Tower, maybe you've even been there, would you want to walk around it, take pictures of it? Get in the elevator, go up to the top. There's even a restaurant in there. I've been in it. Would you want to go up and maybe eat in it? Suck, by the way. But would you want to get up there and go? Of course. Now, let me ask you, if I gave you the option, and keep in mind, you have a get-out-of-jail-free card. You will not get in trouble with the law. Would you blow it up if I let you? No. Wouldn't even occur to you. It's something historic and cool and beautiful. Blow it up. People who admire greatness and success and beauty, those kinds of people have a very difficult time understanding the mindset of hateful, evil, miserable people who want to destroy things. There are people all around you, your liberal Aunt Peggy, there are people all around you who see anything good, anything right, anything beautiful, and they hate it. And they would do anything to destroy it. Have you ever had a moment, no matter who you are, no matter what your walk is in life, have you ever had a moment, maybe you're in a restaurant, public park? We had one of these last night. And matter of fact, we went out and saw Christmas lights as a family. We were just walking around, me, Ob, and the boys, checking out Christmas lights. And there was this wonderful, huge family. Had to be 4 or 5 kids. They were all dressed in matching pajamas. You could tell they all loved each other. It was all laughs and wonderful. And we even commented, even my boys agreed, when they passed by, we said, man, that was great. They seem like they're just wonderful, don't they? It's wonderful. You've ever seen a family that puts a smile on your face out in public? Even Chris has. Could you imagine seeing that wonderful, beautiful family? Matching pajamas, hot chocolate, watching Christmas lights and saying to yourself, ugh, I want to destroy it. I wish I could break that family up. I wish I could turn him against her and the kids against dad and dad against the kids. I want to destroy it. It would never enter your mind. But communists are demonic, and that's how they think. That's how they think. It's hard to accept they select these leaders because they're trying to destroy things. I brought this up when it came to Mamdani in New York City. People on the right still didn't get it, still don't get it. That'll never work. Free this will never work. Opening up the jails will never work. Why are people voting on this? It'll never work. They know. It's not designed to work. It's designed to destroy. It's designed for revenge. It's designed to destroy beauty, to destroy greatness, to destroy success. They know it won't work. That's the point. But good people have a hard time understanding and relating to demonic people. Your liberal Aunt Peggy, when she pulls Aiden, Jaden, and Braden aside when they're 6 years old and hands them a tranny book and tells them to read it behind your back, she's trying to destroy them. She wants them shattered and miserable and broken because she is shattered and miserable and broken. If they turn out happy, it's just a reminder to her that her life sucks. Sorry, I know that's heavy. Let's move on. Talk about stopping the decline of the country. That'd be great, won't it? Before we get to that, let's get rid of your cell phone service and get you something cheaper on the same towers. When I tell you about Pure Talk, remember, I am paying half of what I was paying at T-Mobile. Half. Our bill, family of four, got cut clean in two. And it's on the same towers as the big guys. Remember, I'm not trying to sell you some fly-by-night cell phone service where you're going to be dropping calls. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, they don't have some special separate tower system. You keep your phone. You keep your phone number. All you have to do is pick up that phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk. All right? All right. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.